great to see everyone. A few missing, but glad you're here. Glad you come out to the worship service. I've got something I want to do real quick, though. Let's see, Miss Babs, could you... Look in that songbook that Norman just sang, I Want to Be a Soul Winner for Jesus Every Day. Find that song for me while I finish welcoming you. Then I want to share something with you, okay? Got y'all's attention now. It's either me or the tie, okay? Somebody said it's Rudolph, then it's Blitzen, or also known as the Redneck Reindeer, okay? So we got that tie on this morning. Hold your attention. You may not remember anything I say during the sermon, but you'll remember he had a weird tie on. Okay, that may be all you remember, but at least you'll remember that. All right, everybody listen up. Choir, y'all listening?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Anyway, listen to this very quickly. I want to be a soul winner for Jesus every day. He's done so much for me. I want to aid the lost sinner to leave his erring way and be from bondage free. I want to be a soul winner and bring the lost to Christ, that they his grace may know. I want to live for Christ ever and do his blessed will, because he loves me so. This is the Christmas season. God gave the greatest gift that you could ever have in the whole wide world. Thank you for looking that up for me. And I want to be a soul winner. Why? Because he's done so much for me. And why else? Because he loves me so. What is your motivation this time of the year? That's my mini 65-second sermon. But hey, I'm so glad to see you here. When I heard that, I said, I think I sang it, and I didn't even mean it. And don't we do that a lot of times? We sing the words, but we don't mean them. Or we don't even know what we're saying. I do it all the time. I'll say it, and what did I say? I don't know. I just said whatever Brother Norman led us in. And so, hey, listen. Don't leave Christ out of Christmas. Good crew. Come here, Patrick. Stand right here. Okay, face the kids. and put this behind your back. Wait, don't let anybody see it. Put that behind your back. Just hold it behind so nobody can see it. There you go. Perfect. All right. What is this right here? Anybody know who this is? Nobody knows. It's a manger scene. So who is that? Do you know? Joseph, Mary, and Joseph. Who's missing?
Baby.
That's right. Baby Jesus. Well, where is he? Okay, that's it. You were tricking me? Okay. Well, you did very good. Now, I'm going to put him right there in a manger scene. Now, these are breakable. I have to be kind of careful. And we'll grab a seat right there so they can see, Patrick. Okay. All right. So that's true. And a lot of people don't include Jesus as a part of their Christmas. Matter of fact, if you want to, this Christmas, don't let your parents or your grandparents forget to read the Christmas story out of the Bible. Man, that is just awesome. So y'all help remind them because they're busy just like everybody else and they may forget. And so we don't want to forget about the most important part of Christmas. And so that's really awesome. You did good. Thank you for helping me, Patrick. Everybody bow your head. Close your eyes. Dear Lord, I just thank you so much for giving us the greatest gift of all, which is your Son. And I thank you that we've paid attention and we've looked. We know that the best thing about Christmas is Jesus Christ and the gift of salvation that you've given to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all walk. Be very careful. I think Miss Michelle's got it today.
Miss Dina has a special this morning.
Jesus lived his life to die, then he died to save us. He rose again in victory and proved his sovereignty. Now we can see his heart in the many things he left us as his story unfolds for all to see. The silver to Judas, his body went to Joseph, his mother to apostles that would take good care of her, his clothes to a soldier, his peace to disciples, his supper to his followers, and the gospel to the possessions that anyone would hope for, a worthy estate that one would seek to gain, but the precious things he had would change history forever, and what he left would change my life today. The silver Judas, his body went to Joseph, his mother to apostles that would take good care of her, his clothes to a soldier, his peace to disciples, his supper to his followers, and the gospel to
I've heard that. That is a gorgeous words to that song. Hebrews 13, and you don't have the outline, so you just have to listen up, pay attention. Check this real quick. Oh, it's on. Cool. Okay, good. Hebrews 13, verse 17, we'll begin reading there. This will be the last message out of the book of Hebrews. I'm praying about just keeping going, and that would be the next book. And go through that. The name of the sermon is this, Hoping to See You Soon. Before I do that, there they are. This time of the year has brought to my attention, especially whether it be the two addresses that are listed in here, try to send a Christmas card to our soldiers. And a lot of people really stress our soldiers this time of Thanksgiving and Christmas and this time of the year. And certainly we need to be thankful for the freedom that we have and for what our country has great freedoms. We're losing our identity, but so far we have not lost our freedom. And by our identity, this is not the same country it was 30 years ago or whenever. It's changing. And, you know, that's a matter of fact, a lot of people have different opinions about Thomas Jefferson, but he said this, and it's kind of a scary thought, but he said a revolution every 50 or 70 years is good. And, but really we, instead, you know, you could say, well, we need a revolution in our country. But I think we do spiritually. We need a spiritual revolution. We need to reach out to those that need the gospel. So if you can, please send a card to our servicemen and women, whether these two are extras that you know, relatives in your family, or whomever they may be. The title for this message this morning is this. We're kind of going to go at it a little backwards, and that is I'm going to talk about the last three verses first, and then we will move on to these others. So Hebrews 13 and the text covers 17 through 21, but let's deal with 22 through 25 first. Before we read God's Word, Hoping to See You Soon being the title, I'm so excited. We're finalizing plans this year, seeing soon. I'm looking forward to seeing our families this time of year. We didn't get to go to Texas for Thanksgiving. We went to Karen's folks. We had a good time. And all of our family on both sides are coming to Promised Land for Christmas. First weekend, not all at the same time. We figured it up, it'd be 28 of them. And if they all came, we'd have to pull out the fallout shelter over here that we've got if we did that. So two groups, two weekends coming, looking forward to seeing them. So far we've got enough beds and all, I think. My sister's bringing their travel trailer, and I'm so thankful for Brother Jimmy putting a high, dry trailer plug here at the corner of the church property. Last time we struggled because it was wet and rainy, and And he helped us out so much by putting that so somebody could park. Sometimes y'all have seen it parked over there during the winter months when they come in. And I'm looking forward to seeing them. We're getting all ready. Matter of fact, you're busy this week. I got a lot of stuff done, just different things. A lot of stuff finishing up my doctoral work, my thesis and all. Getting ready for Philippines, getting ready for a debate I've got coming up. There in Chapel and Cabby. Karen's oil needed changing. Ran by there, did that. I ran into a dilemma since we've owned that Suburban that I haven't had yet. It's basically a truck that's covered on the back. That's all a Suburban is. And it sits up, Brother Norman, and I pulled it in here, and it sits up, and I've never had to put it, jack stands, ramps, or anything. Don't like the ramps anyway. Anyway, because it sits up, I just slide under it, Neil. Just slide an oil pan, crescent wrench, ratchet, change the oil, and I started doing that, trying to cut corners here lately. And I started doing it about a year ago, changing my own oil in all three vehicles. But anyway, I noticed when I got it Tuesday or whenever I got it, I went to slide up under it, and I stopped right about here. And I couldn't go any further. And I realized that I was hanging up right there about my belly. I said, So I made a New Year's determination. I need to buy taller tires. Well, I can still eat. I'm going to change my eating. I did have to go get the jack and the jack stand chains oil. And I got that done. So it's just keeping up with these vehicles and whatnot. Keep them on the road so you can go see family. We went over to Magnolia, watched Taylor play. And I think about, we can just hop in a vehicle, reason for me saying all that, and go see someone. And just go see someone. We got people traveling back from Las Vegas. And the last three verses say this. Well, actually the last four. And I beseech you, brethren, suffer or allow the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in just a few words. And what that means is, it's talking about this chapter, I believe, was a cover letter. Know you that our brother Timothy is set at liberty. You know what that means? Hey, that'd be like me giving a prayer request. Pray for Joel Meredith. He just got out of jail. And he'll get to come see us soon. That's the way they talked back then. Hey, our preacher brethren just got out of jail. Then it says, with whom, if he comes shortly, I will see you. Salute all them that have the rule over you, talking about the leaders in the church. And all the saints, they of Italy salute you, which says that either Paul had some friends of theirs that were from Italy there, or acquaintances of theirs. And then he says, grace be with you all. Amen. And if you will, now this is just kind of the introduction part. I'm going to keep my finger here because we're going to stay mostly in Hebrews 13. Back up just a little bit to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. And just another little a tidbit here. Second Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 17. Now, just Paul and Timothy both hope to come there shortly. Folks, did you know that I run out here and I tell Caleb, hey, go get the mail. Allie Joe, go get the mail. Taylor, we got mail coming. People are already sending us Christmas cards. Thank you. We love some people do the pictures. That's always cool. Did you know they only heard from people like once every 6 months to a year in Paul's day? I hope to come unto you shortly. To us would mean, is it a 3-hour drive or a 4-hour drive? No, they talk 3 to 4 months. before they got to see their friends and kinfolks and loved ones and different, or maybe even 3 or 4 years, depending on the situation. But this is also another thing under this title, hoping to see you soon. I do believe that it was Paul, another one of my just tidbits of information. 2 Thessalonians 3:17, the salutation of Paul, with my own hand, which is the token in every epistle, so I write. And it ends, all his letters end like this: the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Every one of Paul's letters ends like this. What does the end of the book of Hebrews say? Grace be with you all. Amen. All of them end, every one of his letters ends with a grace be with you all. Sometimes it says the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes it just says our grace of God, the grace be with you all. Amen. And so just another deal here. And show you that this was a letter from Paul. I think that he didn't put his name to it because of prejudice from the Jews who were reading this letter concerning him. Now, that's kind of the ending. It really doesn't have a whole lot there to it. But the real meat of this message this morning, and I've got plenty of time for the meat, is this. Let's look at verses 17 through 21. That's not too many verses. Okay? Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Now, in looking at this, the first point, if you had an outline, is this. Verse 17 says, follow God's man. Now, when it says obey, that does not, it's the same obey that's in Ephesians chapter 5, where it says, wives, obey your husbands. You know, today's society, it would be reversed, and husbands, obey your wives. And but now, it says, wives, obey your husbands in the Lord. And what that means is follow his leadership. The same is true here. Now, if you compare other scriptures, especially it says even in 1 Timothy chapter 4, where it talked about paying a pastor, it says to pay him, it talks about double honor and all these other things. It says those that labor in word and doctrine. So, and here it's talking about the same thing. When you see a faithful man of God, a man of God that's trying to lead a church, it says here in this particular, obey them. And all that means is follow them as they follow the Lord. Now, matter of fact, there's a text that goes along with that. If you would, go to 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, and then to 1 Peter chapter 5. Okay? All right. I'm going to help you out. 1 Corinthians 11. And then 1 Peter chapter 5, which is just after Hebrews a little ways, okay? I've got it, so you ought to be really close there. Okay, 1 Corinthians 11, 1. This is the whole essence that the writer's talking about. Why should you follow a preacher spiritually? Because Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11, 1, be ye followers, is this not inspired of God? Of me, even as I also am of Christ. The only reason that a wife should follow her husband, if the husband says, come over here and let me beat you to a pulp because I said so, that's not God's design. Matter of fact, that's a physical perversion. The Bible calls that fornication. Now, some say fornication is only related to sexual perversion. I think it's any perversion of God's design in a marital relationship. So even abuse could fall under, that is a perversion, because what is God's design? Husbands ought to love your wives enough to lay down your life for your wife. That's what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5. Why would a wife want to follow her husband? Because he loves her. Why should you follow a pastor? If he loves the Lord and is following the Lord, the same thing. Can a husband be abusive? So can a pastor. So the same thing, obey. That word obey means follow the example of, follow the leadership of. And so, as a matter of fact, it says it the same thing. Now I'm headed to 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. Now the whole point is that, let me ask you this, logically and biblically, why would the writer of the book of Hebrews encourage, with this cover letter, the readers to follow their elders or the preachers that were in their group? Why would he? Because he doesn't want them to forget. And he wants them to grow. And he wants them to learn. And he, shouldn't I want of you to get closer to the Lord? Shouldn't I want the members at Promised Land to be more mature? Hello? Shouldn't I want you to get a better or stronger relationship with God? Folks, that's the only way. I don't want you to follow me blindly or listen to me blindly. Open our Bibles together and read God's Word. Now here in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "The elders which are among you," here talking about the pastors, you know, as you look at the context, sometimes the elders are the older respectable men in the Bible. There's a few instances of this. And sometimes it's the word for presbyters, which has to do with the bishops or pastors that were in the church. Okay? And then it says, "I exhort or encourage," who am also an elder. Who's writing this? Peter. He called himself one. "And I witnessed in the suffering of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed." And he tells these elders to feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. Now, some teach that the preacher should rule in the church. No, the preacher should lead in all churches. But he doesn't rule, taking the constraint thereof, taking the lead oversight thereof, not by constraint, means taking a leadership role. Lead your people. By how? By feeding them and being an example. But that's what it says. Matter of fact, if you finish up, and that's why I wanted to just kind of hit on this verse 17, but let me finish up 1 Peter 5, 1 through 3 here. It says, "But willingly, not for filthy lucre," in other words, what's your motive? "But of a ready mind, not being lords over God's heritage." You ever met a preacher who wanted to be a dictator? That goes against God's word here. But how? "But being an example to the flock," which is why so many people get put out when preachers mess up. A lot of people have very little forgiveness for preachers that mess up. And there's been some over the years that have messed up big time, and it hurts them all. I hate to, you know what? I heard someone say this one time, and I'm going to go ahead and say this. It wasn't here in Hamburg, Ashley County, but it's where I used to pastor. And they said, there was a big Baptist church right down the road from where I pastored, and it split to kingdom come, if that's a phrase. I guess it is. And somebody made this statement, "Well, maybe we'll get some members out of it." And I thought to myself, I said, but when a church struggles, it reflects bad on all churches, especially the same denomination. And if they're teaching the truth, especially concerning salvation and security and God's holy word, I want to see any church succeed. We're not in competition. I'm not in competition with any other pastor here in the Hamburg area that preaches the truth. Now, if they preach, you know, a different way of salvation or God's word being polluted or you losing your salvation, well, I want to be in competition with that. I'll gladly take members off their hands because they're leading them down a road that doesn't lead to heaven and doesn't lead to the same Bible I read. And we're not in competition. And so why, again, before I move on with this one, and I'm pushing my time here, but listen to this. Another indication of a heart of a church, and before I say this, I want to say that I thank Promised Land for helping take care of me and my family. You're taking care of me and my family shows what you think. Okay, if there's a preacher that does his job, what should we do with him? And that is a reflection of your heart concerning not only the Lord, but also God's Word. Because it's not about Michael Reese. Listen, if I say, well, you need to do this, and I did this at my last two churches, and it worked out beautifully for the guys who are brothers, by the way, the Llewellyn brothers, who followed me and I said, you know what would be a good idea? You need to do, next pastor you get after Michael Reese, you need to do this for him. It would be awesome if you could do this for him. And you know what the churches did at First Baptist Church in Wells, Texas, and also Central and Pineville, Louisiana? They said, you know what? That's right. And those pastors benefited, just like I've benefited. And they said, we can do that for our pastor. We can do that. And it was everything from food poundings to giving a Christmas gift from the church and that sort of thing, which y'all are already doing those things, or you have been since I've been here, and those are great. But it's a reflection of your heart and how you view God's man, especially a man of God that would... It doesn't matter if it's Michael Reese or somebody else. If they work hard for the Lord, that man, you need your prayers and your support, because it's not about the man. It's about what he's doing. And it's not a reflection on the person individually. Okay, moving on. I'm back in Hebrews 13, and I've got to shift gears here. Pray for us. The next part is what I call a prayer request, and it's verse 18 and verse 19, a prayer request. And it says, pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience, in all things willing to live honestly. Now, listen to me very closely. If you're saved this morning, if you know the Lord as your Savior, there's three ways you should live honestly. Before God, before others, and before yourself. You can be, and you have to pay attention to this, you can be dishonest with God. There's a couple by the name of Ananias. You say, well, you can't lie to God. God knows all things. Ananias and Sapphira weren't honest with him, and God killed them. He knows, but you can still lie to him. He knows, but you can still say, God, I can't, but even though God's word says you can. You can lie to God. Sure, I know it does no good, but that's still being dishonest with God. You can also be dishonest with others. And listen to me, you say, well, I'm not a liar, so I'm not dishonest. If we are saved church members here at Promised Land, how do you reflect this church? That's being honest before others. If all they hear is say, well, oh, so-and-so did this at church. Well, I know if so-and-so that's a church member and they ain't set foot inside the church in 500 years and this, and you're always complaining. Or maybe we're dishonest with others, but we're always back. As soon as we find fault with someone else in the church or something that's gone wrong or something going on in the church that you disagree with, how do we approach it? Do we approach it negatively by trashing someone or running them down? Or be sure and tell everybody else, but don't tell the person you're talking about. That's kind of like soul winning. You know how to be a good soul winner? Talk to people about the Lord or you can talk to the Lord about people. Okay? Now, a lot of people take that humanly, and they make a mess of it. When you talk, hey, in Hamburg, Ashley County, and I know no one gossips around here, but I know I'm preaching to the choir. I know this is the good folks, and everybody that needs to hear this message is probably not here. So do we talk? When we've got a negative comment or something wrong or a gripe or a complaint, here's the way you do it. You ready? I know this is going to shock you. You can either talk about them or talk to them. Pray for us. Hey, head to Romans 15, okay? Speaking of prayer requests, notice this. Woo, man, this is good. I could preach another 30 minutes on this. No, I was wondering if I'd get any comment. I'm still stirring. Okay. Speaking of prayer requests, notice what Paul said here in Romans 15, verse 30. Now I beseech you or beg you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together. Now, he's closing out this book. There's only one more chapter. And it says that we strive to get that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Now, that's a prayer request. You know what that word strive there means? It literally means fight. Now the word is used strive sometimes. You strive against each other. Paul wrote some letters where it says you're striving against each other. And that means a church. I've never heard of a church, Miss Dana, fighting. No. This is a good kind of fight. Strive together in prayer. Now that's a prayer meeting. When you come with gloves on to do battle with the devil in a prayer meeting, what is he saying here? Who did he say pray to? What does it say? To God. Who's the prayer request for? For me. Because why? He wasn't there. And he wrote this letter here, and it says this. What? Oh, prayer request continued, verse 31. That I may be... I can't talk this morning. That I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints. There's people against me. Our church, oh, this is a good prayer request. Y'all ready? Did y'all know that not tonight, but next Sunday night, we're voting on whether to offer to become a sponsor for the missionary Brother Joel Dillahunty going to Belize. If you didn't know that, he's been here before. And so we may have a member of our church. What would happen if he did that? He would join our church, he and his whole family. I think Blaine and Blair's both been saved. So we would have church members from Promised Land on the field full time in Belize, which means that all of you would be required to go down there to serve. No. Maybe for a day or two. Okay? And, of course, Casey's back there. I want to go. They got good diving spots back there. Yeah, I'll witness to people, then I'll go diving. I'm just kidding, Casey. He's on fire about that diving. And it's Jamie's fault. But listen. Hey, y'all need... That's a good prayer request. Y'all think everybody believes in Belize? That's a tough... Do y'all think everyone believes in Jesus and Belize? No. What does it say here? Pray for me, for them that do not believe in Judea. We need to pray. Even if we don't sponsor him, we need to pray for all of our missionaries everywhere. All right, I'm back on schedule now because I got one more point and I got you for 10 minutes. About all y'all can handle is 30 minutes because y'all start wives going. Okay, so y'all hang in there. I have to do that because I know y'all are comfortable sitting there and you probably ate a big breakfast. All right. There we go. The last two verses of the message, verse 20 and 21. Now the God of peace that brought again, now this is a pretty cool verse, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. This last thing is what I call reversed. He asked for a prayer request in verses 18 and 19, and then it says in verse 20 and 21, he's got a prayer for them. My prayer is that this God who brought Jesus from the dead through the blood of the everlasting covenant, he would what? This is my desire also. Verse 21 is what I want for Promised Land as your under shepherd, as your pastor, as your elder, as your bishop, which all those mean the same thing, that you are perfect. Not without mistake, that just means grown up. I want you to grow up. I want you to be a stronger Christian in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, he mentions a couple of things, and we'll go over them. There's two passages here, and it mentions here, now the God of peace that brought again the dead from our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who has the power to raise the dead, wants you to have a relationship with you. Did you know God, the creator of the universe, wants to have a relationship with you? Back up just a few pages to Philippians 3 and verse 10. This is Paul's desire concerning the God who raised His Son, that I may know Him. Here's what it is, Philippians 3:10. That I may know Him and the power of what? Of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. Now, that's who wants to have a relationship. Guess who this fellow wants you to, what God wants you to do. Let me just do a quick survey. Now, I know we have some guests here, and I'm very, very thankful that you are here. This is awesome. The reason being, if you're not a member here at Promised Land, you're fissing to be able to say, okay, Brother Michael's fisting to hammer the members here, so I get out of this next part. So I'm fisting to hammer you if you're a member here. All right, I'm fisting to put you on the spot too. Guests and non-members, just chill out and watch what I do to the members. Y'all ready? All right. If you're a member here at Promised Land, lift your hand. Are you ashamed of your membership? Okay. No, okay. All right, good. Thank you. You know who you are. If you're a guest, just watch. They're fixing to get it. Members, either listen or turn. Ephesians 2. You ready? Ephesians 2. Which is famous for that salvation is not of works. If you're a member here, Hebrews 13 says you need to grow up. Grow up. And if you say, well, I am a mature Christian, Brother Michael, you don't need to talk to me that way. I'm already mature. Okay. I'll just take your word for it. You're mature. which means you're going to be nice and pray for your pastor. Pray for others. Instead of talking about people, you'll talk to people. If you're mature, don't talk about people. You talk to people. Or else you're not mature. And I'll have to go get some milk. We don't want to get the milk out. One time I got in big time trouble. I was sick and tired of immature, idiot church members. I put a baby bottle full of milk right there. And I preached about the baby bottle milk. I got in trouble afterwards. But I don't care. I lived. I'm here. Ephesians 2, verse 10. Says this. For we, after you're saved, that's talking about 7 through 9. For we are His workmanship. Some of y'all, I covered this about 2 years ago, or three maybe. Brother Herbert, I can't remember which one. The word workmanship there, in Greek, if you want to say that word, is poema. Which means this. We are His poem. We are His masterpiece. We are God's. Allie Joe loves to color and draw stuff and hand them to me. And you know where they go, Evan? They go in the refrigerator. They stay there a while. That's Reese Art Gallery. You, if you try to live for the Lord, everything you do goes on God's refrigerator. If you do something. For we are His workmanship, His masterpiece. You're created in Christ Jesus, what does it say? To do good works. God wants you to actually do stuff. Now, if you're not a church member here, God wants you to serve the Lord through a church. Live for Him. You say, well, I can do it without being a church member. That's true, but you can't do as much because you don't have. Number one, you need to follow the Lord's example. Number two, you don't have the family backing you. You got, this is a church family. So you say, well, I'm mature. You know what that means? Talk to people, not about people. That means working out problems or soul winning. And also says that you need to do something for the Lord. So your work, your life's work, just like Casting Crowns sings that song, Let My Life Song Sing For You. Your life's work may go on God's refrigerator. For we are created in Christ Jesus, what? To do good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk or live in them. As we prepare for a hymn of invitation, would you bow with me for a word of prayer, please? Father, I thank You so much for everyone that's here this morning. This wrapping up this last part of this book that is inspired of You. I pray that if the words I spoke this morning would just be for one person, it'd be worth it all. If just one person could see that we not only should follow biblical leadership, but just because You want us to grow, just because You want us to live. For You, dear Lord, that's my prayer. And help me, as Your word says, that I need to be an example. And when I fail, it hurts Your work. Please help me to be the kind of example that You need us to be. And help us to keep our eyes on You. We know that we are shining examples of our reflection of Your light, of Your love, of how to live. And help us to live for You and for the right reason. Help us to talk to people and not about people. So that whether we're talking to try to work things out with them or trying to tell them about the Lord or tell them how much we love them, I pray that we'd want to do that. In Jesus' name, amen.